show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, hello. It's
Cliffo and Gabby. It's Cliffo and Gabby. Just podding.
You said that as if it was a surprise. Oh my God, oh my, it's Cliffo and Gabby. God,
said no one.
Said Cliffo.
Said me. Oh my God, it's me. My son's three, and he started referring to me as Cliffo.
Oh, no.
It's Cliffo off the radio.
Oh, no.
Like, no, I'm Dad.
I call my dad by all different versions of his name. I very rarely call him Dad. I'll call, like, he'll answer the phone. I'll be like, hey, Bobby. Hey, Robbie.
Bobby boy.
Hey, Roberto. Yeah.
You called him Bobby to me before, and I was like, that's strange.
It is weird, isn't it?
It's like a pet name-y kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's just what I do.
Your little weird thing. But you're weird, Gabby.
That's true.
And we've come to expect it.
That's very true.
Big show today. Our first and only election campaign debate.
Oh, we're never doing that again.
It was a real low light.
It was really hard for me to be yelled at. I don't do well in those situations.
I enjoyed yelling at you.
You did.
Too much.
It was really uncomfortable.
Also coming up on the pod today, Sue and Lloyd Clark, the parents of the late Hannah Clark, who I think, you know, Queensland was equally moved across the state when we lost Hannah Clark and her three beautiful kids in that horrific act of domestic violence.
Yeah.
It was back in February 2020, but her parents are championing change and they're getting it. So they're coming up on the podcast.
Before you decide who'll run the country, you need to decide who'll run the radio. This is Cliffo and Gabby's election campaign.
We thought this would be something fun to do to cover off election in a fun way, but two friends have really become enemies this week.
We have.
It's been a weird week.
It's mate first, mate. Cliffo versus Gabby, as we are the respective leaders of our own political parties that we have formed. We're going head to head, and we had our first leaders debate yesterday. You'll be able to see the video really, really soon in a few minutes at Cliffo and Gabby on Facebook. But for now, enjoy our first and only leaders debate.
Hello and welcome to Cliffo and Gabby's election campaign debate. Now, just to remind everyone of their parties, Gabby, can you please tell us your party name and slogan?
So my party is the Gabby's Pets Party. And my slogan is, pets are people too.
Woo!
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
And Cliffo,
thank you.
Cliffo, please remind the people of your party name and slogan.
Well, thank you. So my party name is Go Nuts for Donuts Queensland, and my party slogan is No Cuts, Just Donuts.
So to start the debate, I'll be asking Gabby a few questions. She'll give her answers, and then we'll have a rebuttal from Cliffo. So question number one. Gabby, you've stated one of your policies is to ensure that all restaurants and cafes are pet-friendly and offer a doggy menu.
Correct.
Is that inclusive to any other pets or just dogs?
Stage number one, Hayley. You know, everything needs to happen in stages. And stage number one is a doggy menu because doggies are more often going to be in restaurants than any other pet. But once that's implemented, we are more than open to introduce menus for other pets if they would like to be interested in going to restaurants.
Well, how do you feel about bringing pets to work every day? What if there are people in your workplace that are allergic?
Pets to the workplace has been proven to reduce stress levels and to improve productivity. So if there's anyone who is against productivity and against reducing stress in the workplace, then I think we have bigger issues.
All right. Well, Cliffo, what would you like to say to that?
What I'd like to say to that is my opposition here is purely for the big end of town. Her and her rich mates with chihuahuas in handbags ain't gonna fly in the great state of Queensland. My opposition here, thank you. My opposition here has already floated the idea of pets on planes. I can tell you what, Qantas doesn't want to outlay $200 million for a Boeing 747 to have your schnitty noodle whatever pissing all up the side of their white walls marking their territory. This is an ill-thought-out plan, it is ill-conceived, and it is typical for this proposed government.
Wow, all right.
Wow.
Gabby,
that was fiery.
You've had your chance to speak. Now I'll ask Cliffo a few questions. Cliffo, you have stated that you will deliver more donuts, more often without making any cuts to Alpha Bucks.
True.
How do you plan on paying for the donuts? Are you taking it out of a different budget? Who's going to suffer?
Look, through efficiencies in the budget, we will be able to deliver what Queensland wants, and that is no cuts, just donuts. Now, if you guys saw the amount of money and the amount of time that is wasted in the lead up to every photo shoot we've ever had, the amount of hair and makeup and fake tans, this one has to get done.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
To look. To look like she does on the poster.
Whoa!
Is absolutely preposterous. We will cut where we can see the savings to be made, and those funds will be channeled in to donuts.
Does that include your fade haircut?
Oh!
Gabby, settle down. You can have your rebuttal after the questions.
Please.
Cliffo, are you proposing any other flavoured donuts other than the cinnamon donut?
Yes, well, unlike my opposition here, appealing to only the big end of town and only one demographic, we will appeal to everyone, whether you are chocolate, whether you are strawberry, whether you are caramel, whether you're cinnamon. It doesn't matter.
All right, you've heard him, guys. Now, Gabby, what would you like to say to that?
I have a few things. I have a few holes to poke in this policy, guys. Oh. If you hadn't have noticed, he's claiming to be inclusive. What about gluten-free? What about allergies? As this man in the audience pointed out, what about the guys out there who can't eat donuts? Not only that, where are the donuts today? If you were serious about this policy, you'd be feeding these good people donuts right now.
We're
am
in
I
the
right?
Planning phases. I will
and
stop
finally,
you.
And finally,
we are in the planning phases only.
Finally,
unlike your government,
you're very vague.
Straight into a hardcore policy.
You are very vague, Cliffo. You are very vague. You say more donuts. What does that even mean? One donut is more donuts. You're promising shit.
Now, I think we're going to decide who is the winner of this debate with a cheerometer.
It's the official way.
So, if you want to vote one for Gabby's party of pets, cheer right now.
Oh, that's impressive.
Now, if you would like to vote number one for Cliffo's party of donuts, cheer right now. The people have spoken, and the winner of Cliffo and Gabby's election campaign debate is Cliffo.
Donuts! No cuts, just donuts, baby. Thank you for your love and support, everyone. And just a listener content warning, some of the conversation over the next 5 minutes or so might be a bit sensitive if you do have little ears in the car this morning.
You would remember not that long, well, it doesn't feel that long ago, Hannah Clark and her three children were murdered by her estranged husband following a pattern of manipulation and abuse and coercive control. And since then, Anastasia Palaszczuk announced that by the end of 2023, coercive control should be a criminal offence. And to find out what that means and what steps are being taken to make that a thing, we do actually have Hannah Clark's parents, Sue and Lloyd Clark, joining us right now. How are you?
We're well, thank you.
Hi, Gabby. Yeah, well, thanks.
Guys, thank you for joining us 2 years on from the devastation of losing Hannah and those three beautiful grandkids of yours. A lot of people would just, you know, crawl under a rock and live the rest of their lives like that, but you guys have not. You've stepped up and you've created small steps for Hannah. First up, I think it's important that we actually clarify what coercive control is. This is what's going to be criminalised, and this is what your daughter was experiencing in the world of domestic violence, so sadly. But give us your definition. What is coercive control for people who don't know?
It's a pattern of controlling behaviours where there's uneven power in a relationship. The perpetrator controls the finances. Quite often they control what you wear, who you can talk to. In Hannah's case, she wasn't allowed to wear pink. That was for children.
Oh,
it would go through her phone to see who she'd communicated with that day. He would even ask the children, who did mummy speak to today? What did mummy do today? He started tracking her. He had hearing devices in the car, in their lounge room, quite a few places. It starts off as a gradual little things where you can fob it off, then it slowly gets more and more controlling.
So making this a criminal offence, is that going to be a really difficult task? Because a lot of the times these things are done in the privacy of their own homes. Like, to prove that it's happening, is that going to be difficult?
Yes, it will be, Gabby, because we didn't know what coercive control was.
Mm.
And that's half the reason we started Small Steps for Hannah. We wanted people to understand how controlling it is. Like, Hannah never thought she was in an abusive relationship because she never had any marks.
Mm.
He never hit her. But we knew he was mind games with her, but we didn't know it had this name.
It won't be easy to do because a lot of the time it will be he said, she said.
Mm.
But if women can try to write down, keep a secret diary, but the more evidence you can have will be the most helpful.
Mm. It's a huge step in the right direction, criminalising coercive control. If these laws were in place, you know, 2 years ago, 3-4 years ago, like when your daughter was going through this, is there a chance that Hannah and those three beautiful grandkids of yours would still be with us today?
I like to think so.
Yeah.
I think if it was a law, Hannah would have been aware of it a lot earlier, and hopefully she would have left sooner. Of course, it may have happened sooner then to them as well. But I like to think it certainly would have helped.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think they would have realised how much of a monster he was. So they could have, incarcerated him probably earlier and maybe,
And the thought of up to 14 years jail term, I hope, is a deterrent.
Criminalising and jailing people who do use coercive control against their partners is so important, and to have that consequence there, as you said, is definitely a deterrent. But is the education around coercive control even more important? Because as you said, your daughter may not have even realised what was happening until it was too late.
Exactly. She felt domestic violence was physical.
Yeah.
So many people do.
That's exactly right. So we do need more education. I'd like to see more ads on TV. I'd like to see some TV shows take it up so teenagers can see it in a genre they're used to. Things like that, just to get the message out there.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, they're pumping a lot of money into it, the government, which is really great. So we just got to make sure the right people get hold of it to get out there and start educating and keep a check on it to make sure our younger generation coming through know what a healthy relationship is about.
Yeah.
Sue and Lloyd Clark, Queensland stands with you. Mm. I just think it's so incredible, and it's testament to the kind of people you are, stepping up after such tragedy to bring awareness to what's happened to your daughter and to try and prevent it from happening to another family.
Yeah,
I just think it's such a noble thing. And you guys are doing a fundraising gala July 16 this year. It's in Brisbane, trying to raise $100,000. Get tickets at Small Steps 4, the number 4, Hannah.com.au. Sue and Lloyd Clark, thank you for the fight you're fighting, and thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, guys.
We only let her talk about the wedding once per week.
What? Only once?
Yep. This is Gabby's weekly wedding update.
The countdown is well and truly on. Well, let's be honest, the countdown's been on for 18 months, but we're down to the pointy end.
The countdown's been on since I met you. And this show is 4 years old. I don't remember you not talking about this.
So it's a month and 10 days till the wedding now. So if you hate wedding chat, you've only got a month and 10 days and it's over and done with. But I have...
Neb's calling through. He hates wedding chat.
He's like, come on, can we just go to the courthouse tomorrow?
Can we wrap it up?
So I am at the stage of wedding planning where I've started to do a bit of a rough draft of the seating plan. I've gotten majority of the RSVPs, so I thought it's time to start placing people at tables, and it is far harder than I ever expected it to be.
Yeah.
Not only is there the placing people, but then deciding who goes on what table and like trying to balance it out between mine and Nev's guests and making sure no one's upset with their placement.
I was going to say, have you had any can't put person A next to person B
yet
because there was that fallout 4 Christmases ago.
There's been a little bit of that.
Oof.
There's been a couple of people that, I don't think that they would crack on or anything. Like, they wouldn't fight it out. But it would be more comfortable for everyone involved if they were on opposite sides of the room.
Space them out.
So I've definitely considered that. And there is a couple of those occurrences where I'm like, okay, if person A's to the right, I'm going to put person B to the left. And I've placed them first and then built everyone else
It's
around
me and
them.
Gabby's mum, Maureen, everyone. Me and Maureen, we got a real axe to grind.
Real history there. But
I'm coming for you, Maud.
It's definitely an interesting problem to have when it comes to seating arrangements at a wedding. And so on 131060, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to know who you had to separate at your wedding. When you were doing your seating plan and you were figuring out who sits where, who did you have to separate? Who did you have to make sure they were sitting at least minimum at different tables?
Good one.
I'm super interested.
I'm thinking of so many scenarios.
It's a hard one though, because sometimes people have beef, but not with you. And so you're still friends with both of them and you still want both of them to be there to celebrate your day with you, but you know that they don't want to celebrate together.
I reckon any guest with like 20, 30 or more people, you're going to have that.
You're going to have someone who doesn't particularly like that.
Because there's beef, man. Every family has skeletons in the closet.
Totally.
Every family has beef. And like I say, like if you're going to have like, you put 20 or 30 of anyone, any people in a room at any time, X is not going to like Y. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're up it to 80 people and there's
suddenly,
probably a couple.
You've got a love triangle, mate.
Maybe
you've got buddy pentagon of angst.
Maybe there's even people out there who had to have two separate weddings because
Jesus.
It was too hard to put everyone in one room. You know, like maybe they had like the ceremony and then a reception with this family and then a reception with the other family separately. I don't know.
131060 is our phone number. Give us a call. Who did you have to separate at your wedding? Mm. Okay. So there was beef or there was something. We just want to know a little bit about the people and the situation.
And how you dealt with it.
And how you dealt with it. Because, yeah, Gabby's crossing that bridge right now. Oh, what a fun one to be tip-tapping over.
It is.
Who did you have to separate at your wedding? 131060 on here. Laura, to you, who did you have to separate at the wedding?
I had to separate part of my dad's side of the family.
Ooh.
Okay.
So,
like
was
a whole
it like
section of the family?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had one cousin who doesn't talk to my uncle or his brother, so he had to sit up with my mum and dad while the other rest of the family were at a different table, and they just ignored each other the whole night.
So separating them did work, though. There wasn't any drama on the dance floor later on?
No, but they were interstate travellers, so it just makes it worse. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, maybe they should stay that way in separate states by the sound of it. Leonie's next. Leonie, who did you have to separate at the wedding?
I'm getting married in October.
Yeah.
And I have my mum, my dad, and my stepmom. All three of them need to be separated.
Oh, my God. How are you going to do that?
We've got three rows of tables, so we're just going to put one at each row.
You've actually organised the tables so that you can have one at each.
What you need is some of those little partitions that you get to keep your toddlers out of the kitchen.
Well, my brother's the resident comedian, and he said we should just hire a boxing ring.
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Dinner and a show.
Yeah.
I love it, Leonie. Thanks.
Ditch the DJ and have a boxing ring.
I love it. 131060. We'll go to Annie next. Annie, who did you have to separate at the wedding?
It was actually me that got separated at my cousin's wedding.
Oh.
Who did you have to be separated from?
I was separated from my ex for 4 years.
Ah, yes.
So why were you both invited?
We were just really good friends with the cousin. So, and there was sort of no animosity really, but everyone was like, oh, don't seat them together just in case.
Yeah.
Bit awkward.
But we had too many champagnes, got back together, and now we're married.
No!
So the separation didn't work?
The separation started, but you'll always find each other.
Well,
oh, that's funny.
Your cousin failed.
Yeah.
Like with the separation. That was a big fail.
Download the KFC app for exclusive deals. Shut up and take my money. Cliffo and Gabby's Origin Intruder on Hit.
3 weeks today is Origin game number one in Sydney on June 8, and we want to send you along, but we need you to audition in order to be our Origin Intruder. And then you could be getting 2 return flights to Sydney, 2 nights accommodation for 2 tickets to State of Origin, 2 Queensland jerseys to wear at the game, and KFC feeder merch pack worth $100.
It's a fantastic prize. All you have to do to get into the draw is commentate a day in the life of Cliffo and Gabby. It's like,
that's your audition.
It's a 40-second video. It's so quick. You film yourself commentating it, then upload it at hit.com.au. That's exactly what Peter did.
Yes.
Okay, so Peter is our third entry for Origin Intruder. And just a reminder, the video consists of me cutting myself shaving, you going nuts for free coffee
in the kitchen
at work. Me tripping over with a wheelie bin, and then you arriving home to a very excited Bear the Chihuahua.
Exactly.
After a not so long and not so hard day at work. That's just a life.
It was very
a
tough.
A day in the life of Gabby. So, this is Pete's entry, guys.
Cliffo gets the ball. He runs up. He's been absolutely levelled by Razorback. The halfback from New South Wales has levelled him and drawn first blood New South Wales. Cliffo gives the ball to Gabby. She sees a copy email. She's up and she's away. Folks, she's away, she palms one off. She's like a greyhound in the night. She plays the ball, gives it to Cliffo. Cliffo's away. The big prop forward down the line. He's away. Who's going to stop him? He gets ankle tapped by Binhead. Binhead has ankle tapped him. Cliffo has gone to the video replay to contest it. The ref says, welcome to State of Origin, son. It goes to Gabby. She's going through the door. She over. She's over. Is she in? No, no. Bear's there to stop her. He does 3 360s. Ladies and gentlemen, Bear has stopped her. He's done it. He's stopped a try.
Welcome to State of Origin, son.
I loved that. That's my favourite bit.
Peter, welcome to the show, son. What a fantastic call.
Thank you so much. How are you?
How many rehearsals did it take you to get that down pat, or was that just a one-hit wonder straight off the bat?
No, that was one take. I've been playing rugby league ever since I could walk.
You can tell.
So I've played a game and I've watched it, and then Rabbit Warrens is the caller, so I tried my best to impersonate him, and I think I did pretty well.
I think you did very well.
You can hear Rabs in there, mate, throwing in the Razorback thing. Gabby, like a greyhound in the night, the ankle tap, the State of Origin, son. It's very Rabs Warren,
mate.
The
fact that Bear stopped me getting a try.
Yeah.
I'm not very good.
By the way, that little guy couldn't stop anyone from doing anything. He's like 2 kilos. But Peter, sick call, mate.
That was amazing.
Good luck. How much would it mean to you to head off to State of Origin game one in 3 weeks' time?
Well, mate, it would be an absolute honour to go and watch it and be there and feel the atmosphere of. Like I said, I've played all my life, but I have never been to a live Origin.
Oh, wow. Neither have I, but I've heard the atmosphere is just
incredible.
Next level.
I've been to one at Suncorp. Amazing, Pete. Anyway, could be yours. Keep the entries coming through, guys.
Yep.
We got this week to fill and then next week. So we still got some spots. All you have to do is watch that Day in the Life of video on our face here. Film yourself commentating it and upload it at hit.com.au. You could be Cliffo and Gabby's Origin Intruder for KFC. Download the KFC app for exclusive offers and shut up and take my money, son. Alpha Bucks. Alpha Bucks is back in the morning. It's worth $1,000 cash for the Thursday, the 19th of May edition of Alpha Bucks, Gabs.
We've got a clue here for you. Well, it's not really a clue. It's an answer.
Mm.
It is jelly.
Jelly.
Jelly on a plate.
Jelly on a plate.
Wibble, wobble, wibble, wobble, jelly.
Right. Right.
Where's that from? It's not
hell?
A Wiggles song, is it?
Directly from hell to your ears and your brain. Jelly is your free answer for Alpha Bucks for tomorrow on Hit. The Hit Breakfast Show.